Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Daily Fringe Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Larimer, and today I'm joined by Mr. Terence Corrigan. Terence, how are you this fine Tuesday afternoon?
I'm good, Nicholas, and yourself?
I'm all right. I keep yawning for some reason, but apart from that, I'm just dandy. And of course, we're also once again joined by Mr. Gabriel Krauser. Gabriel, how are you?
I'm good, Nick, and it's no mystery why you're yawning. It's because you stayed up all night last night trying to recombobulate your mind after rend asunder by that problem, the goings
that
on.
Contributed. So you may be correct there. And yeah, let's get into the recombobulation. Well, in a minute. I just want to follow up briefly on something we talked about yesterday. So, of course, the main thing we're going to be talking about today is what happened in all the metros across SA yesterday. Some pretty exciting stuff. But let's start off by talking about Nelson Mandela Bay, which we started off with yesterday. So the ANC won with one extra vote there. It was 60 votes to 59. And apparently, the reason that the DA coalition, despite believing that they would have enough votes to clinch it, I think one party, one seat defected from them, from one of the small parties, and one of their members was absent. Now, that's quite interesting, but apparently this is because he's a guy who was a member of the provincial legislature in the Eastern Cape, and he decided that he wasn't going to take up his seat in the council. And so the DA says that they asked the IEC to put another councillor on the list there, the next person up on their list, who had been fill his seat, and that apparently never happened. And as a result, they didn't have their full complement of councillors. So, a bit weird. I don't know if you gentlemen have any thoughts on that before we move on to the meat of the issue today.
I have one thought, which is, I mean, yeah, so I would love to hear more about this because maybe it's just one side of the story. The IEC is so incredible that it feels really easy to blame it for skullduggery. But that's not to say it didn't do it. So let's see if it interfered in that. What's interesting, just a little technicality, is that in the Municipal Structures Act, Schedule 3, which deals with these kinds of votes, it really does turn out, if you have a tie, if it had been 60 votes, 60 votes, then so there's one procedure which is candidate elimination. Now, on my reading, it's not perfectly clear what happens. If this means like if there's four candidates, then the one with the least vote, and it's a tie between the top two, then the one with the least votes drops off and you do it again. And if it's a tie, you drop off and do it again. Then if it's two, what do? Well, you draw a lot. At some stage, if you can't decide it, you basically flip a coin. And I think it would have been absolutely fabulous if
if the DA had its full complement in Nelson Mandela Bay yesterday, that very well may have been the result. which is quite spectacular. Any thoughts, Terence, before we move on?
I think Duke of Wellington said something about the Battle of Waterloo having been a damned close-run thing. Seems that the mayoralship of certain towns may qualify in the same way.
Yes. So, with that on our minds, yesterday I think was quite unexpected for us and quite amusing considering what our episode was about yesterday. We talked at length about how being put in charge of any of the metros without a stable governing coalition was basically a poison chalice and a total trap that would that would cause you massive problems. And it appears that the EFF was watching the show because they decided to do just that in metros across the country, particularly Ekurhuleni, Joburg, and it also seems in Itegwini. The DA candidates did much better than expected. In fact, in Joburg and Ekurhuleni, they were elected mayor and speaker. Now, the DA says that this was a complete shock to them, Both Helen Ziller and John Steenhuisen have said, we didn't know this was going to happen until basically an hour or two before. And from what I know of the DA people, that seems to be the case. And they are now in a very difficult position because one of the ways you can tell that this is indeed the case is, for example, their mayoral candidate for Ekurhuleni, Refilwe Ntseke, didn't take up her seat in council. She instead stayed in the provincial legislature because she didn't think she was going to have any chance of being mayor. And so as a result, she wasn't at the council yesterday when they put up another DA councillor called Tanya Campbell, who was obviously there, I think, as what they call a flag waver, which is someone who basically stands for a position mostly just to make the speech and kind of set forth what they're going to do in opposition and set forth what the priorities are as a party, but not expect to win. And then she was elected, I think, to her shock as much as anyone else. And this was on the back of both EFF and Action SA support in all of these metros. Now, this is despite no coalition agreement being agreed between the DA, the EFF, and Action SA. Herman Mashaba from Action SA said that at the end of the day, they just couldn't let the municipalities go back to the ANC, and therefore they had to vote for the DA candidates. And I'm not sure if the EFF has said anything. So I think we can perhaps speculate a bit about what their reasoning is, and also if Action SA has got some other reasons perhaps for doing this. Steenhuisen, the DA leader, said that they were shocked but pleased that they had been given control of all of these metros and that they would now take this opportunity to have firm, principled governments, and that if they ended up being faced with a situation where it was unworkable or indeed they had to violate their principles, they would return to the opposition benches. Now, that's a big commitment, and we'll have to see if they can follow through on that one. But let me start with you, Gabriel. What happened yesterday? Let's leave aside Durban, because we'll get to that one, I think, second. But what do you think about the Gauteng metros in particular?
Yeah, I mean, so the title of yesterday's episode is Joburg is effed up, EFFED. And I think that's exactly right. So this has never changed since we got the voting results. Numerically, the DA basically required the EFF to come to the party in order to get elected. And this is how it works. Once you've gotten elected, it's not like suddenly you're king forever. Mayoralships are not like the command council. Okay, with the command council, once it's started, you can't end it unless you can convince those in charge to end it. It's not like that with the mayoralty. There's lots of bylaws that need to be passed, and especially budgets that have to be passed basically twice a year. An annual adjustment and then the main annual budget. And you have a 50% plus one.
Right, and you can hold a vote of no confidence in the mayor pretty much whenever you want.
Exactly. So I think that it would be the worst mistake in the world to think, okay, not the worst mistake in the world, but the worst mistake the DA could make in Ekurhuleni and Johannesburg is to think that it's governing, to think that it's in control, to think that it's got a mandate. It does not have that. As soon as it does anything that goes against the EFF, they have all the power necessary to join up with the ANC and bring the DA down. They do have a microphone. They've been afforded the ability to get in front of the public, regaled in civic regalia, in the robes and the chains. It's harder for the media to ignore them. And they can use that opportunity to make really good points. And they can use the council as an opportunity to drive forward a good agenda until they get blocked. I think in a way, the biggest question for the DA is not if they're going to be taken out by the EFF swing vote, but when. And it would be a terrible mistake to let the EFF decide that. You know, they can wait until the DA has got some internal scandal, and then while they're looking a little bit unpopular, chase them out and say, oh, these guys are a bunch of useless people. Or they can choose to do it on their own terms. I think the DA should be thinking about what issue it is that they would like to push forward that is according to their principles, that really serves ordinary people's interests, that most people are going to like the sound of, but that the EFF will push against. And then you see whether the EFF continues to cave or whether they do push the DA out of government. And the DA can say, look, This is why we're out of government. We stood for this principle that is in your interest as a voter, and the EFF didn't want that. So next time around, give us a shot at a fuller majority with our coalition partners that are really on side.
Terence, what do you make of all of this? What do you think perhaps are some of the reasons that the Action SA and the EFF did this at the last minute? And do you agree with what Gabriel says the DA should do now that they're in government?
Well, in keeping with my theme of the day, which is the Duke of Wellington, he said nothing except a battle lost can be half so melancholy as a battle won. I think that this is maybe a battle that the DA needed to win decisively. And I think, yes, it will be unstable. And I think that sooner or later, they are likely to lose power. And the question that arises is what damages go, under what circumstances and with what damage. I think that there's maybe something quite subtle here, that perhaps the damage that they may find themselves reckoning with is the idea that a narrative takes hold that the DA just can't seem to keep itself in government when it achieves it. I think also the EFF is playing this quite strategically. Perhaps at some point they banking on being able to offer the ANC control of the metros, because they believe that the ANC will need them for patronage. Just let them have a few months without that patronage to be offered, and they can get something a lot more valuable: constitutional amendments and things like that. Perhaps this is part of the condition on which they'll try and make a strategic re-entry into the ANC proper. On the other hand, one must acknowledge that there are probably many people in the ANC who would believe that the EFF would eat them alive. So they would possibly be cautious about entertaining that possibility. I think that what has maybe been missing from a lot of the analysis is exactly what's going through the ANC's head at this point.
I think that that's pretty much my view on this, is that a lot of this is because the EFF is playing a power game with the ANC. They issued the ANC a list of demands, like agreeing with them on their definition of custodial takings, on expropriation without compensation, removing de-stem from the national anthem, and all sorts of other stuff like that. And the ANC said no. And so I think what happened yesterday was the EFF basically said, well, you're not in a position to negotiate, actually, because we hold the whip hand and we can hurt you as we see fit. and hurt the ANC, they definitely did. I saw one of our colleagues was posting snippets from the News 24 live stream on our WhatsApp group last night, and it was they were saying things like,
I just want to read that out. I just pulled that up to read it out.
Yeah.
So to go answer James's question, like, what are the ANC people thinking in the chamber where the votes went against them? Two quotes reported by News 24: EFF councillors voted with white people. And the other one, there goes the tenders.
This was apparently said out loud within earshot of a journalist. So
yeah, the journalist was Zinhle Mahlatsi.
Yes. So crazy stuff.
That's pretty great. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So I just wanted to say, so I do think it's worth noting, I got a copy of Parliament's schedule for business through the end of the year. And debate on the second reading of the expropriation without compensation amendment, that's the 18th constitutional amendment, is tabled for the 7th of December. And this is a crucial juncture because, as far as I understand, once this debate is concluded, they can proceed to a vote. And so this is big boy time. And I have no facts to base this on. This is an interpretive inference. But here's how the conversation between Julius Malema and Cyril Ramaphosa went last night. Juju said, we can keep going on like this forever. You need to pass EWC. And then Ramaphosa said, and then Juju said, okay, guys, Now you can vote for the Johannesburg mayor. We've already had the speaker. Now you vote for the DA mayor in Johannesburg. And then he called Cyril back again. He said, we can keep doing this. You need to come to the party. And just to be clear, the debate between the ANC and the EFF is not about whether EWC is a good idea. They completely agree that expropriation without compensation is a good idea. It's not even about whether it's a good idea for the state to hold custodianship. I saw an opinion piece in the Sunday Times last week which said, no, it's about who should own the land that is in state custodianship. No, it's not. State custodianship means the state owns the land. The debate is about whether all land should go into state custody or certain land. And certain is certainly vague. So it's not even a substantial – there's no clear line to draw. But that is where the disagreement currently lies. And I will say a controversial thing perhaps on this channel, which is that people should look at this and pay some respect to Julius Malema. It is very difficult, and it's something we talk about a lot, for a party leader to command the lower downs to act in a way that lessens their chances of tapping into a patronage network. So if the ANC had voted with it, if the EFF had voted with the ANC, it would stand a much better chance of getting tender kickbacks and job postings and all that kind of stuff. People want that. That's money. For the commander in chief, as he's so called, to say, look, guys, you're not going to do that. You're going to quote, vote with white people, which he relentlessly stigmatizes, and say goodbye to the tenders. As weird as that must have been for the ANC, it must be even weirder for some of the EFF councillors to have heard. But they did it because there's command and control there. And Malema, I think, really is playing a strategic power, making a strategic power move here to say, this party is going to be as big or as small as you want it to be. What we stand for is expropriation without compensation of as much as we can possibly expropriate. And I think that's the basis on which he's trying to leverage the ANC. This is my suspicion. I will just say that that bleeds back into the question of what should the DA do. Mpo Falatse, on her memorandum or her manifesto before being elected, had several bullet points. One of them was to establish a dedicated anti-land invasion unit. I think if that's the first thing, if the DA does this today, like while we're speaking, to me, that's what the DA should be doing. Mpo should be getting into council and she should be saying, guys, we need an anti-land invasion unit. There really is a need for it. And then if the EFF is fine with that, that's great. Johannesburgers are a bit better off. And if the EFF says no, then that's a good hill to die on, as they say in war. And also, it'll be very interesting to see what Action SA's response to this is, because of course Herman Mashaba had a Freudian slip last night when he said, and I quote, "We must ensure that we make sure that the DA loses." Now, I think he meant the ANC because he was explaining why they voted for the DA. But this does take us back to our original point yesterday that winning Johannesburg at this stage with this EFF swing vote really is probably losing, because it means if you stick around for too long, you can't actually fix the problems, but you will take the blame. So anyway, that was a Freudian slip. Let's see what happens. Will Action SA support or decline to support an anti-land invasion unit? I'd be fascinated to know, because Mashaba to me is still an enigma. I see the good side. I see a lot of worries.
Terence, what do you make in particular of Action SA's decision last night? It kind of seems like they sort of got left behind a little bit. They had gone into this whole thing saying, look, if the DA is not going to play with us, and we're not going to play with them. And then kind of at the last minute, they withdraw, for example, Mashaba's candidacy for mayor in Joburg. I mean, literally like an hour or two before the sort of nominations are supposed to be in. And then they say, well, no, we had to vote for the DA. We had no choice. What do you make of it?
Well, I'd like to, on this issue, quote Lord Uxbridge to the Duke of Wellington on the field of Waterloo when a cannonball ripped off his leg. My God, sir, I've lost my leg. And the Duke said to him, my God, sir, so you have. I suspect it was probably rather like that. It was something that until maybe an hour or so earlier, no one, least of all Mashaba, actually thought would happen. I think he was trying to play chicken. But you know, I think that once again, be careful of seeing this from a DA lens. Perhaps he reasoned that if the mayorship should go to the ANC, he would take an enormous prestige battering. So Action SA has put a great deal of emphasis on the imperative of keeping the ANC out. And I think that when the choice became support the DA or see the ANC in,
right, especially you probably had to
back off.
Exactly, especially if the EFF was voting for the DA. Imagine the EFF had voted for the DA, but Action SA had abstained.
That yeah, would
have not look good.
Yeah, you know, he would have been. He wouldn't have been able to quote that other line from Waterloo. The French came on in the same old style and we met them in the same old style.
I mean, I do think that from his media comments last night, it sounded like he had been in conversation with the EFF.
Well, there was definitely a conversation with the EFF at some point, right? Yeah. When that conversation was, though, I think is unclear.
But it's very hard to say. Yeah.
They did tell him what they were going to do at least a little bit before everything went down.
But this just brings out, because he said what we need to do here is we need to get the DA and the EFF to work together, and this would have all been much better if you guys had just agreed to a coalition in advance. The DA said we'll never work with the EFF. Action SA said we will work with the EFF. And I just want to draw people's attention to a very interesting interview that I saw with Herman Mashaba, I think Alec Hogg on Biz News, a couple of days ago. It's a half an hour long interview. It's really worth the while. Mashaba describes himself as an unapologetic capitalist. He's asked, are you, you know, is this as clear as like the EFF are socialists and you're a capitalist? And he's like, yes, I'm an unapologetic capitalist. These socialists have never produced anything in the world. We should take the EFF to Russia from 1917 or China during the, you know, cultural leap forward or whatever. He's like, the only thing socialists have ever managed to master is mass murder. He couldn't be more critical. He says the EFF's policy and Action SA's policy are chalk and cheese. So he really does at times speak a profoundly anti-EFF game and lay out the kind of framework that the DA lays out for why you would not want to work with the EFF. And yet at local level, he thinks they're really good partners, which doesn't make sense to me, because at local level, the EFF has got all the ideological problems they have at national level, plus the problem of corruption, pilfering tenders and most importantly, perhaps, on the legislation that's being tabled, municipal authorities are expropriating authorities. So it is at municipal level that decisions can be made to take away people's property. This is a very important reason to try and keep the EFF not only out of power, but out of influence at that level. I don't really understand why Mashaba is so keen to work with the EFF at that level and keen to oppose them at national level. This is somewhat of a conundrum and something that I can't understand through an Action SA lens. It seems to me like they would do well to distinguish themselves from the party of chaos and say, we are the party of law and order. It would fit with his conservative modus operandi in many ways. And to say the difference between us and the ANC is that the ANC is just like an old and bedraggled version of the EFF. Both sides are wrong and we're right. I don't see why he's not doing that, but I do worry about it a little bit. In particular, I worry about it maybe luring some Johannesburgers and some Okurulenians into thinking that they have a stable coalition when they don't. Because instead of seeing the EFF side of it, they kind of see Action SA as the EFF's broker. And this is like the silliest mistake people keep making. To think you can lead the EFF. To think you can guide the EFF. It's really like thinking you can train a tiger. That's already wild. You know, this thing is already matured and it's tasted blood, and it's a wild thing. You can't tame it.
Call up the devil and ask him to behave.
Indeed. So Terence, your thoughts on, I believe the EFF, I think, got two mayors yesterday themselves. I know they got at least one, and that was in Mitsimaholo in the Free State. The EFF made an agreement with the ANC locally to have their person elect mayor. How do you think that's going to go?
How functional are those municipalities right now?
Not very, I don't think.
Okay, well, look, I've never seen the EFF as a party particularly interested in actually managing or governing anything. It is interested in wielding power, which is not necessarily, which is often a very different thing. It certainly didn't want responsibility when it had that informal agreement with Mashaba. So, but you know, I think that people hoping for things to turn around the municipalities must remember that this isn't necessarily well. I think its origins are political, but its expression is fundamentally administrative. You generally don't have the skills to govern these places, and until that changes, until there's like a 180 degree turnaround, I think it's more of the same. Although one of the interesting ones was that Lekwe apparently was won by an independence coalition, and as I wrote earlier this year, I drove through Standerton twice a couple of months ago, and I used to do that route quite regularly. And the scale of decay over the last decade is just mind-numbing. You know, one has this impression that as you get into a town, the quality of the roads improve. Well, this is the other way around. It seems that, you know, when the provincial government was laying them down, they were kind of okay. As soon as you went into where the local government was responsible, you just, you know, what would elsewhere have been called the road hazard was in this case the road. PJ O'Rourke. plagiarism. Maybe there's something positive in that you are seeing shoots of communities actually trying to take some responsibility.
Although I just want to say about Metsi Maholo, is that how you say it? It's that where the EFF has just been made mayor. It's on the border between the Free State and Gauteng. Basically bordering on Vereeniging, Sasselburg. It's just in the corridor, not directly, but it's in the corridor where some of the most egregious land invasions have taken place over the last few years. Someone that we met with, I think his name is Carl Kemp, young man who wrote a book about some of these sort of EFF-sponsored squatter camps that pop up along the side of the highways become sort of political hot points. I think that because of its proximity to major industrial and urban centers, but its relative, you know, large amounts of open space, either in the form of farmland or municipal land, I think that's a great place for the EFF to get in and trial run land invasions followed by expropriation without compensation under its own watch. I think that it's a very worrying prospect.
So we've only got 2 minutes to talk now about Durban because there's just been so much to cover. But I think the most disturbing thing that happened yesterday was the disruption of the Durban council meeting. So it seems that at the last minute, the IFP decided to go back on their deal with the ANC and in fact vote with the opposition. In places across KZN. Now, this is typical of the IFP that you never really know what you're going to get from them. And it seems today like they may in fact elect a DA mayor in Etegwini, which would be crazy. But the meeting was disrupted first because there were continuing power outages, which knocked the electricity out of the city hall, so they couldn't do things properly. But once it became clear that the IFP was not going to stick to the agreement and the ANC may lose control of the mayorship in Etegwini, a whole bunch of ANC supporters stormed the hall and disrupted the meeting. Now, I believe they were pushed out or something, but the meeting was postponed officially because of the power being out, but in reality, because these guys had messed up with the meeting. So what we really saw, it seems, in Durban yesterday is very real use of undemocratic kind of brute force to sort of mess around with the procedures. And who knows, maybe the IFP is going to switch back to being in bed with the ANC again now. Who can tell? I think that in Newcastle and in another municipality, the DA and IFP did actually work together to put the IFP in charge. But yeah, we'll have to see. So very briefly, in about 20 seconds or so, Gabriel, your thoughts on this? And then we'll finish off with Terrence.
Yeah, no, a foretaste of something very scary. Let me just give a shout out, because we won't be able to talk about it, to the Cabbage Bandit, who was a champion on the Daily Friend right from the beginning. He's finally had his case dropped by the court. And my quote was going to be from Lewis Carroll. The Walrus said, it's time to talk of many things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax, of cabbages and kings, and why the sea is boiling hot, and whether pigs have wings. And I think that poem makes about as much sense as what's going on in Durban. And very good luck to everyone who's closer to the ground to figure it out.
Terence, in 30 seconds or so, your thoughts on what happened in Durban?
Well, as the Duke of Wellington was reported to have said at the Battle of Waterloo, hard pounding this gentleman. Let's see who will pound longest.
Indeed. Cool. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Exciting stuff in SA politics, and I'm sure there'll be a lot more of this over the next couple of years. I think we have only seen at the beginning of what the future of South African politics
is. Road to 2024.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild ride. So buckle in, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Daily Friend Show. Cheers, everyone.